can go.
Today is Saturday, October 3rd, 2020. I'm recording from Las Vegas, Nevada, and I know my partner today. She is my colleague.
My name is Isabella. I am 21 years old. Today is Saturday, October 3rd, 2020, and I'm recording from Henderson, Nevada. I know my partner because she is my mentor and colleague.
So we've known each other since 2017, I believe. So 3 years have passed, and I've gone to see you do good and great things since then, since we spent those 6 days at New Leadership. I just want you to share with me briefly who you were before we met, Isabella.
If I can quote it correctly, and I think I told you this like five times at least, I had imposter syndrome written all over my face before I knew what it was. And so I was incredibly insecure. I didn't know what path I was going to be on, didn't know who I was going to be. I just knew that I was going to school. I was the first female in my family to go to, to pursue a higher education.
Yeah. You know, I remember distinctly that week. You're one of the few freshmen who even made it, because usually we take in upperclassmen into the program. And I watched you navigate through that week and really absorb like a sponge. But I think your really big breakthrough moment was the night we had karaoke, which really brings the class together. And I think you really found that you have this big and large voice. And I got to see that when you really mobilized a lot of new initiatives at the community college. Can you tell me about your time there?
In the student government, just CSN.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I did a lot of things. It was just, again, it was just a way for me to, I guess, own the voice that I realized I had from Newell. I got to bring up a lot of the issues. One of my favorite things was when I was in my second year in student government, I really just pioneered this first, like, Women's Week on campus. And it was really insane because there's nothing that was really done before at CSN. Nothing. There was no women's themed week. We had Women's History Month, of course, and we had the Women's History Mixer. But to have a whole week just dedicated to women's history was something that was a first, something that I haven't heard of happening before. And so I helped pioneer this extra, just because CSN has so many powerful and inspirational women on campus. And they just feel like, you know, there's no highlight, there's no spotlight. And I gave them a panel. I gave them a platform to speak on. I also ran this feminine hygiene drive. And that's really important to me, just because it's one of those things that half of the population, you know, half the people on earth, you know, share this common struggle for the most part. And it's like, it's just kind of neglected. It's, you know, everything from the pink tax, everything from it not being available in public restrooms, everything from it being seen as taboo, and being able to just have a place on campus where it's acknowledged that, first of all, it's happening. It's not just something under the carpet. And one, I was able to collaborate with a homeless shelter and give them those needs, because we all think of food, clothes, and water, but, you know, no one ever thinks of feminine hygiene. And it's just one of those things that, like, you know, I remember being younger and I was, like, you know, transitioning, or not transitioning, but just going through it. And my dad had to be the one who figured out what I needed. And I was like, that was awkward. But being able to just provide these products to kids who are going through it my age, and just letting them know, like, you know, this is nothing to be ashamed of. This is not something that needs to be hidden. This is a basic necessity.
In a lot of ways, you were able to make what we learned at New Leadership really accessible, because, you know, we only choose 25 students a year based off the kind of very little funding we get. And I guess, you know, we're coming from two different campuses. You're at CSN, College of Southern Nevada, and, you know, I'm from UNLV. But every time I would go to CSN, your name would be dropped, right? Like, I was at different faculty visits, and they're just like, well, you know who we could call? We could call that Isabella de las Casas. And I was like, God, what a buzz name. Like, she's everywhere, you know, in the time that you served on student government. But I think one of my best things that I'm proud of with knowing you is the fact that you built a very strong cohort, a relationship with the people you served. It wasn't a one-way street of leadership for you. Can you explain more about that with the people who became your best friends as well as co-leaders?
Oh my God. Yeah, student government was like some of the best times I've ever had. It was really important for me just because of my first year. I had a female, I guess leadership in my Senate wasn't the best. It wasn't ideal. And it was unfortunate because she was everything I wanted to be. She was headstrong. She was vocal. She knew what she wanted and she knew how to get what she wanted, but she didn't extend that. She extended that to everywhere except to, I guess, us, the senators. And when I became her, when I entered her position as secretary, I told myself I want to be her, but I also want to do the things she didn't do. I want to build relationships because I feel like with how the student government worked, I just wanted to connect with everyone. And I felt like, you know, once I give everyone that safe place to operate, you know, just I feel like the biggest thing you can get from leadership is just mutual respect.
Yes.
And it's not like a I scratch your back, you scratch my back. It's like I see her doing great things and she honestly cares about me. She came to my event and, you know, I'll come to these guys' event. And I'm in Henderson. I'll go 30 minutes out of my way to make it to their event. I'll take pictures, post it online, and I'll make it a key point to acknowledge that, hey, Jeffrey did a great job helping with this event. Hey, Edison did a great job. Alexis did a great job. And I just think through that, just simple acknowledgement and realizing that these people are doing great things really helped me build that relationship. And on top of that, representation is incredibly important to me. Of course, yes. Newell has instilled that too. There's so much going on campus, everything from the hate graffiti that happened a few while ago. The homelessness issue on campus was something that really bothered me. And again, that was what brought up the feminine hygiene drive. Cause again, it's just sad to know that there's so that these students are struggling and that, you know, we're not doing anything to provide for them. So that's something that was also important to me. It was just important cause I know what it's like not to have a voice and I just wanted to give that to others. So that was the biggest thing for me.
Yeah, and it looked like you had a lot of fun, even with this exchange of mutual respect. You guys are like so tight even after graduating. What does that friendship look like now?
I'm gonna hang out with them today, actually. Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah. It's so wonderful.
What kind
wonderful.
Of plans do you have? Like, especially in social distancing, right? Sometimes it's scary, but there's this trust and still love that's there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been about a year, yes, from graduating.
Yeah. Wow, it's been a whole year. Yeah. I mean, I have like so many friends, of course, like, I mean, just one like memorable person is Isaiah Nelson. And he has the nickname of Queen Regina. And he is one of the best senators I've ever met and CSM will probably ever have in our life because he was so, and I want to just, I guess, preface it by saying this where, you know, people always just, I guess, make fun, quotation mark of people making sexuality and identity, like, oh, being gay, being bisexual, them being queer is their only identity. And I hate that because it's like, yeah, it's my identity. Like, what? And I'm owning up to it. And it's not fair because I think the biggest misconception is that people don't realize, like, for people who, you know, are coming out as queer, bisexual, gay, they don't realize, like, you know, it wasn't always a safe place to come out. And now it is. And people are owning that. And now people are confident in their own skin, their own identity, their own pronouns. People are just offended. Like, look at this person be who they want to be. Look at them make it their personality. And it's just, and for Isaiah, you know, I guess you could just, you know, he just had a personality that was very kind and loving. And he was just so outgoing and so warm. And he was just kind of known as that person on campus. And instead of, you know, he was just so inspirational to me because he never let it get to him ever. If anything, it empowered him. And that was really inspirational. And he used the empowerment to start the first LGBTQ mixer at CSN ever. And it was actually one of the most successful events CSN has ever had, which is crazy because CSN, being the smallest campus, having the highest event turnout of any other campus combined was incredible. And to be able to help him with that and for him to ask me, like, you know, what, as you as a woman, like, what makes this event welcoming to, you know, women to men to, and for him just to get my opinion, just to include me, which is, it's just, I'm lost for words, but it's incredible. It's so moving. And that's the kind of relationship I have with him. He's just super inspiring and he's just super loving. And if he will, you know, give you the food on his plate if he's hungry himself. But the relationship I have with others is great too. Yeah.
I think something that's really, that you are daily practicing is decentering yourself, Isabella, in a lot of ways, right? You're willing to pay credit where credit is due. You're willing to be an ally when that is a time in your life to be an ally. And I think a lot of the contention about community college, or sometimes they downplay that there can be campus life, but during your legacy, along with a very mutually cooperative cohort of leaders, you all did a great deal of campus life for people who are usually written off, oh, they're working students. Oh, you know, they didn't get into the large university, but that didn't stop the perception that you could enjoy college life at that level. And so,
and just to bounce off of that, it never felt like I was at a small university. And even though it is like, it's a community college, it's this and that, I had so many resources. I had so many, and you've been to CSM, like it's so diverse. There's so much diversity just within the staff there. And I remember when at the end of your banquet, I brought my boyfriend. You know, he has this conception of Nevada being conservative and just, you know, all white. And he came here to the banquet. And he was like, after we left the banquet, I asked him, what do you think? And he was like, there was a lot of color there. There was a lot of diversity. There was a lot of different people. And I'm like, oh, yeah, Nevada used to be conservative. I remember me coming into Nevada and it just being like, you know, conservative. I watched it flip. I watched diversity just bloom, and and now I'm just ingrained in it. I'm just so used to seeing people of color, people of different backgrounds. It's really nice to see that and be immersed in that.
And it's good to be seen, right? Like, and to recognize that there are existing people in this community that are often not lifted or recognized or credited. So I want to go into, so you have, to me, a very flexible and adaptable personality since we've met. And so what is 2020 looking like for you? How are you taking care of yourself? What is new? What are you learning about yourself now?
Learning a lot of things. It's just hard to know where to start with everything happening. I think at this point, we all acknowledge that it's going to change our lives for the worse, the better, maybe both. One of the things was I was and I am still getting therapy. I'm getting help with that. And it was really hard during COVID, because during COVID, like, you know, she couldn't accept any in-person visits, and I couldn't do online, because, you know, it's kind of a private conversation you want to have in private in a certain room. And so during the peak of the pandemic, I went like a whole like month or two without anything. And that was rough. Among that time, just being alone and just not having anyone to talk to, I learned a lot about myself and my identity, how I want to be seen. And I felt guilty about it, because I know, like, when I was younger, like Newell age, like I was, and like, you might be surprised to hear this, and I'm sorry if I disappoint you, but I was really close-minded to the fact of like there being more than like one gender. I wasn't like, oh, like, yeah, but I guess in the sense of me being not for it, I was against it regardless. And so it was something that was foreign to me. It was something that I was grown up with, where it was just, you know, two genders, boy, girl, that's it. There's no need to, it's not a difficult box to choose, just choose one. And if you feel like you need to go into a certain restroom, just go into that one. That's what I thought way back then. And now just being alone, being surrounded by, you know, different people, getting new perspectives. I know that being told just upfront just to choose between two boxes is not fair. And why choose from two boxes when there's this box that fits me so much better? And I owe nobody at all to fit in the box I was assigned at, primarily. And so I explored that, and I'm like, oh, wait, I actually kind of like this. This is a lot more fitting. This is a lot more suiting. And I just totally backpedaled on my previous like ideology, like, you know, like there's only two of things. Why does everything have to be so extra? Why does everything have to be made a big thing? And I made everything a big thing. I started getting really into fashion and just
It was amazing. Please expand about that. I have been following. Oh, and before you expand about your fashion, I want to let you know that I'm not disappointed, because we are truly a product of our time, right? The ideologies that we're exposed to and the growth and room to do so. So yes, get back on that fashion. I am astonished at how fashion forward you are with the stuff you've come up with.
Yeah. I'm trying to find one thing I want to say is that it's hard to, with everything happening, it's hard to just focus on one social issue. Like there's Save the Kids, Black Lives Matter, and there's children in cages, and there's Muslims in concentration camps, and it's overwhelming. I just always stay on my feet, and I know I shouldn't become numb to it. It's like the worst thing you can do, like just letting it happen. That's when you just become, I feel like when you become numb to it, that's when you become powerless. And I feel like that's when everything stops, the social justice and the protests, and that's when it stops. But something that I've been able to focus on that I, resonate with, something that I resonate with is environmental change and women and women empowerment. And one thing I found through fashion was that fast fashion really exploits female labor. Specifically, women are paid less than $1 an hour overseas to make clothes. And I, when I realized that, I was disgusted, and it hurt a lot because I had so many clothes that were from H&M, from Forever 21, and I'm like, this was made by the shirt I'm wearing was made by a child, and that was really painful. And I'm like, I can't. This is something I resonate with, because first of all, when I, and I'm on social media, and I see that, you know, in my community, in the LGBT community, fashion is a really big deal. Just everything from the earrings, from the glasses, to the shirts, to the pants, like everything is a massive just, and I guess it's just part of wanting to be seen. And it's also just expression. And that's something I've been able to express myself with. It's like art in a way. And through fashion, I was able to, I guess, be seen and also recognize social issues. Like one, biggest one being slave labor overseas. One, the amount of clothes that go into a landfill annually and just destroy our environment, the amount of water it takes just to make a single shirt. And that's when I started really getting into thrifting. And through that, I was able to, you know, support small businesses. I was able to support small businesses on Etsy. And from there, I was able to just focus in on this one issue that I really cared about, which was, you know, a combination of a lot of things. And it not only did it give me a sense of identity, like, you know, I belong in this community, even though I feel like I don't, because I feel like I bashed on them like years ago. I feel like I'm supporting them. I feel like I just feel like I belong now, which is something that, did I answer the question? I'm sorry, I kind of derailed a bit. Yeah.
I mean, you answered probably the multi-layers of this question, but I think from what I'm gathering is that leadership has never stopped for you, you know, in terms of the way that you want to do impact. You've done it at the large level. You're doing it at the small level that still impacts what we view as like very capitalist, right? Like how do we upcycle, recycle, refurbish? And you don't do this alone. It seems that you've done these thrifting photo shoots on Instagram with your friends. How did you get them on board with you?
Oh, it was so spontaneous. It was just something I wanted more than anything. Like it's just for some stupid reason that the quarantine has made me incredibly insecure about my hobbies, which shouldn't, but it does because I reframe things negatively and I'm working on that. But I have so many passions. I like sewing and I like thrifting and I like art and I like photography and I like all these billion things, and it stresses me out because I'm like, if I like all these things, like, what am I? But now I've kind of switched it around, and it was the day of it. I was just talking to the North Las Vegas Senators, which are more, they're kind of like the creative people campus. They have a lot of crazy ideas and they're very outgoing. I talked to them. And just also on social media, I've been seeing like people just do photo shoots, and I'm like, how much does it cost? And like a room for an hour was like $50, and I'm like, let's do it. And I also just bought a camera recently, and I wanted something to do, and I'm like, okay, well, let's do this fashion. Let's do this the 70s Hawaiian hitman themed shoot. There is these hitmen coming back from a Hawaiian trip, and they find out that they've been wiretapped, and they're just fighting and going at it. And that's just the theme of it. And I thought, okay, that should be easy. We'll just get coats. We'll get Hawaiian themed t-shirts. You know, I know a bunch of dads, you know, will buy a Hawaiian t-shirt, never wear it again, give it to savers. So there was no shortage on, there will never, ever be a shortage on Hawaiian t-shirts. So that was why we stuck with the theme. But we just did that, and we ended up having a lot of fun. And from there, it was very empowering, because I was like, oh, this is just something I can, I'm just doing it. And something I've never done, or something I've been struggling to do, which is doing it. I always just let anxiety sit in the brain for too long, just telling, and I'll have ideas that I want to do, and it's just anxiety will tell me, you shouldn't do it, don't do it. And I just fought that day, and I'm like, well, I have these friends that want to do it, and if they want to do it, probably shouldn't, it's not a bad idea. And I'm sorry if it's anticlimactic in any way, but I just did it, and it was so fun. And ever since then, I've been in love with thrifting, I've been in love with photography, I've been in love with just doing a lot of spontaneous things. So that's something I've just been doing. I have one today too. It's the theme is, again, just the 70s Hitman reboot with revamped clothing. Hopefully that's better. And then we have a 90s retro gamer shoot. So I'm excited for that. Yeah.
What a privilege it is to be your friend. I didn't even know that there was honestly somebody from outside looking in, and it's not anticlimactic. Now I kind of see how your polymath mind works. It's always working, and you are talented in multiple things and you want to share them, which is additional work. But I think that when I saw that shoot, I thought, this looks so high fashion for Thrift Store. Like, I had no idea that it was. And I think because you had this large narrative and intention to make it one of joy and fun, that the confidence that each of your friends gave, like, vibed off, it showed, and it paid off in a lot of ways because it was uninhibited. And it was, and I'm glad that I get to tell that to you on a day that you're doing it again, and that you are continuing to do this practice of, like, badass, like, upcycling of thrifting. So I hope it's an internet trend. We need more positive internet trends like this. You know.
Yeah
so I wanted to ask, you know, to clarify here in 2020, like, if you could consult, you know, you were talking about, you know, adopting a new identity. So what is it, if someone were to consolidate to you, what is that, what would you tell people that you are now in 2020?
It really depends. If I'm talking to my dad, I'm like, no, I'm she, her is fine. But if I talk to anybody else that I'm actually comfortable with, the conversation would be more so, you know, I'm non-binary. I use she, her, and they, them pronouns. And I've gotten a little pushback, especially from, like, my loved ones, where they would ask me, you know, what's the point? Like, why not? I get, like, you know, they, them exists, you know, blah, blah. Why use both? And I would just tell them, like, you know, there are a lot of people that use both. And just for, like, you know, popular examples, like Jeffree Star, like, he uses any, for the most part, I think they accept any pronoun. And then there's, of course, the most more relevant example is Rebecca Sugar. She uses they, them, she, her. And again, it's just been a battle of just trying to explain to them, because at the same time, it's like, I don't know why I'm using both she, her, and they, them. I just know it feels right. And they don't understand that. And so it's been a hard conversation to have. But when people approach me, I'll just tell them, like, hey, my name's Izzy, with S's, because I'm weird and quirky. And I use she, her, and they, them pronouns. And I'm non-binary. And if people ask me what my preference is, you know, like on the data sheet form, I put bisexual, but I prefer the term just gay or queer. Maybe I should change that. But I just don't, after just putting myself, you know, as a label for so long, like, you know, I'm a girl, I'm straight, and now I'm here. It's like, I see myself changing in the future. I see myself forever adapting. So I'm just going to, if people ask me, I'm queer. And I just love the word queer, because it's just right. Such a beautiful umbrella term, and it's great too, because I feel like back then, and maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like queer was, like, a very derogatory word to use, like, it was, like, you know, very bad to say. And nowadays it's kind of like I feel like I own up to it, like, you know, like, look at me, I'm queer and I'm here. And it's just it makes me, I feel a lot more comfortable in my skin. That's all I have to say. So
You bring up a good point about trying to explain to family what non-binary means, but I want to re-ask the question in a way. If you could explain how being non-binary is good for you, you know, in a way where you feel free and liberated and fluid, what would that look like? And I ask this because, in case anyone who ever wants to, you know, because you talk about representation is important, in case anyone can really identify with your liberated and safe statement for that you take ownership of. So what does that look like, Izzy, if you could explain it?
One of the things I've been battling is just, like, people's perception of my hair. And I know you also share that with people. I'm sure every girl or femme person shares the idea of, you know, people saying, oh, let your hair grow out, this and that. And kind of bothers me a little bit. And it's just, you know, when I would cut my hair short, I always get a lot of comments like, oh, are you a dyke now? Are you bi? And you know, so more than anything, I was actually going to get a haircut this week. I was going to get a mullet. I was going to say, whatever, I'm going to get a mullet because that's what I want to do. And being non-binary itself just gives me permission to be androgynous or femme or masculine without having to explain to people. I feel like the biggest thing I was struggling with before was, you know, when I was coming off a straight and I was telling people, like, you know, oh, I want to do this, like, with my hair. I want to do this with my clothes. And they're like, oh, isn't that masculine? Oh, isn't that androgynous? Isn't that femme? And then for a while, I got this, like, you know, just I was coined as this, like, androgynous appearing femme person. And I was just like, for a while it confused me because I was like, I really like being androgynous, like do it. And I thought, like, well, I can just be an androgynous female. And of course there are people like that. I know that there are people who are androgynous and still use she her pronouns, and they're absolutely comfortable in their skin. But for me, it was like, I'm not really, not that I'm not comfortable being she her, because again, like, I feel a lot of empowerment from being a woman, but for me being non-binary, it just gives me permission that I can be whoever I want to be without having to fit somebody's ideal perspective of what I need to be as a girl. I can be masculine. I can be, again, just all these things without needing somebody's approval, which is really validating to me.
Yeah, I like the word permission, in a sense that that permission is permission for you and by you, which is a huge thing for non-binary folks. And so, yeah, thank you for, you know, it's a new term for a lot of people. And I think that it's still being built by a lot of people as they adopt, you know, I think about older generations that don't have it, right? Or even in my generation. And it's, I think that we have a lot of words that don't get to articulate fully. And now we are at liberty to do so. And it scares people to be outside of comfort zone. So, you know, I continue to wish you safety in having to lay down emotional labor. I hope that your current cohort of people, they seem like they're down for the cause. So, you know, looking, we're almost at the end of 2020. And so what are you looking forward to now with the year almost ending?
To be honest, I'm not looking forward to a lot. I mean, it's just been a really dry year for me, especially because I took a hard break from everything, because I think me going to therapy and just me rediscovering myself was the most important thing. So, and I was really insecure about that. I've been insecure about a lot of things. That was the biggest thing, because I was like, I'm not in school. I'm not with my cohort. There are a lot of, I should be insecure. And then I talked to my therapist and she was like, you know, you're a very results-based person. And I'm like, well, of course I am. Like, results are results. And she just kept pushing it. And I just did not see where she was coming from. I was like, why wouldn't you be a results person? How else would you see progress? And that was just ingrained in my head. And after a while of just drilling and drilling, I'm finally at a point where, like, where I see what, I finally get what she's saying. If I focus on results, I'm never going to get to where I want to be. But right now, I'm really just focusing on growth. And if that means, like, having one less, like, anxiety-induced sleep, like, one time a week, then that's growth. And I'm really just looking forward to my 1 year evaluation and talking to my therapist and her saying, like, okay, well, it's been a year. Let's reevaluate how far you've come along. And again, like, I'm just happy that, you know, I'm self-sufficient. I'm really looking forward to moving out too. And that's going to be a big step. But besides that, I've just been really trying to focus on the growth and not the results. And I think once I started doing that, I started being a lot more confident in myself and a lot more proud of myself. So that's where I am. And that's what I'm looking forward to, just the growth that comes this coming year.
Yeah. Thank you for teaching me that in pandemic 2020, when sometimes the world seems on fire, one of the best things to do is to center mental health, because we're no good to the people out there. We're not good to ourselves. So thank you so much. Do you want to say any last good vibes, good advice to anyone else out there?
I want to say maybe one thing, because I'm coming to see my family too. And it's just been really, really crazy to see, like, what everyone's doing during the pandemic. Because, you know, again, I know a lot of us, you know, feel bad that everyone's taking over the world and, you know, maybe exercising, trying a new diet, watching a whole series. I've just been living. And when I came here, you know, my sisters, they're doing the exact same thing. They're just not doing anything. And for a second, I was worried, like, oh, is my dad, like, berating them? But my dad, you know, has also come to terms with that. You know, right now, it's just a good time to live. And right now is just a good time to breathe and just reevaluate and center yourself. And that's something I really resonated to, like, you know, just him, my father figure telling me, just breathe and just reevaluate where you are and just accept that has been really comforting. And just, we're all in the same boat. We're all struggling. And so that's how I found my peace and my place in the quarantine, just accepting where I am.
Thank you, Izzy. Thank you for sharing this space with me and your truth and your fluidity and your friendship.
Thank you. Thank you for being my friend too.